Who are we waiting for? John Dye is waiting. The church waits year after year, 20 centuries preparing the way for the one whom the prophets proclaim and angels foretell. One of the ways that growing up in the Episcopal Church has taught me to really know someone is to get to know their family. I was born in the Episcopal Church. My German and French mother met my German and Jewish father while she was at the Neshota House bookstore, and he was working his way to ordination in the Episcopal Church, along with my grandfather, her father. I spent most of my life spoiled by an extended family in line with the ideals of the 50s and 60s, as expressed by the Cleaver family in Leave It to Beaver. While I had heard the word divorce, and even had a friend who spent every other weekend with his father, I had no idea what it meant. I only knew that it was bad. No one as far back as my great-grandparents had ever divorced or remarried, and only the standard one odd aunt or uncle a generation had followed the vocation of a single life. In the sixth grade, my uncle got caught cheating with the secretary in his law firm. The scandal and eventual divorce rocked my family on both sides well into my freshman year in high school. Well, they say that opposites attract. And several years later, when I moved to Idaho and met and fell in love with my wife, Jessica, I suddenly found myself in a much larger extended family. Every couple in her extended family, except for her father's parents, had been divorced, and almost all had remarried. They were the yin to my family's yang in the 50-50 divorce rate. To my shock, though, for them there was no scandal. Every divorced parent, grandparent, aunt, and uncle still loved Jessica and her five brothers. Each had found their fullest sense of life, either in their rediscovered single life or in finding their perfect complement in their second marriage. Her family system is vast, with love and support for each of its members. Not the alien misery I had expected to find in such families from TV, in contrast to my own experience. Even more mind-blowing to me is that they actually communicate clearly and honestly with each other. They have already seen each other at their worst and found an open and honest balance beyond the passive-aggressive "just make it through this" attitude that I have seen so often in my family and in the Episcopal Church when times are tough. Two families built around love. In our reading today from Isaiah, Mary is not referred to as a virgin, but as a maiden. While this does not change who she is or her purity, it does tell us that she is a young and probably naive woman. Throughout the ancient and medieval world, males and females married as soon as they were old enough to bear children. This means between the ages of 16 and 18 for boys, and between the ages of 14 and 16 for girls. This did not mean that they were mature enough to live in marriage or prepared to live together and fend for their families in the world. But times were hard, and children have always been a blessing worth fighting for. So then, Mary is a teenager, engaged to Joseph, but still living in her parents' home. And now, she is pregnant, and Joseph knows the child is not his. When I worked at Papa Murphy's Pizza in Idaho, I worked alongside several teen mothers. All but one of them dropped out of high school. Only one of the fathers stuck around, and all of their relationships with their families were strained. What is Joseph to do? There is no high school for Mary to drop out of. But if Joseph exposes what must be infidelity to the community, she will surely be stoned to death. Wanting to do what is right, Joseph decides to break the engagement. And this time, to do so requires a formal divorce. Joseph girded himself to protect the woman he loved, knowing that he would have to bear the shame and give reason why he was unfit for the marriage. The very night before Joseph planned to go to the synagogue and meet with the elders in secret, he had a dream. Joseph, son of David, and just to make sure that we know this is an angel speaking, be not afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Which, of course, reminds Joseph of the prophecy. A virgin will conceive and have a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, God with us. Given the choice to either have himself committed to an institution after filing for divorce, or accepting that his fiancée was the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, like any good head-over-heels-in-love young man would do, he marries Mary, refuses her right to marital relations to preserve her virginity for the prophecy, and names their son Jesus, just as the angel had commanded, making him the stepfather of the Messiah. Two families built around love. I know that for my stepfather-in-law, Roger, he had to fight hard for 15 years for him to fully become dad. Jessica and her brother were downright terrors at times to Roger, trying to convince him to stay away from her mom and out of her family. Roger is a doorframe-sized man with a childlike smile on his face and in his eyes, probably the most patient man I have ever known. He would smile, help out any way he could, but most importantly, his smile is contagious. He loved her mother so much and fell so in love with that family that he just never gives up. I like to think that that is how Joseph and Jesus were for those years we miss in the gospel. I bet Jesus was a little terror, knowing that God was his father and all. But Joseph loved Mary so much and trusted in God so much that he could not help but smile, knowing that as a young man, he stayed with Mary for a dream, and that when on that cold night his son was born, he knew right then and there that this dream had come true. God is with us, and that little child wrapped in swaddling cloth, making a holy family built around love, just like ours, showing us that in this season of hope, dreams really do come true. Like the love that caught me by surprise in Jessica's family, and the love in the Holy Family that has given hope to generations. This year, as our families gather to celebrate the birth of Christ, how will we build them around love? Emmanuel, God with us, we are all invited to join the Holy Family in love.